we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. You've made it through another week. I'm on vacation this week, so it's been a pretty easy week for me. There's quite a bit of driving that's gone on in this, but we are off celebrating some family events, and so we're thankful that we can still continue to bring this broadcast to you and that the Word of God will make a difference in your life. The thing that we are talking about on yesterday's program and the thing we're going to continue talking about on today's program is this: the just shall live by faith. And so I was giving you a little bit of a foundation for where that is found in on yesterday's broadcast, and that was found in Habakkuk chapter 2. And it is the opposite of living by pride. It is the just shall live by faith. Even when you don't understand what is going on, when you just stand back and you say, you know what? I trust God beyond my understanding. I trust Him because He is God. I believe Him. I believe in Him. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God's plan. I believe in His timing. I believe in His provision, and I believe in His people. And so that's what God tells Habakkuk, that in spite of the manifestation of the proud and arrogant, the boasting and the voluminous speech that takes place, and everything is about me, you know, I wonder what would happen if there was a politician that got up and started talking about you, and didn't even talk about himself other than to say, you know, I want to be your servant. Because that's really what, you know, I read, I see a lot of news headlines. I've told you before, I can be a bit of a news junkie. And in other countries, they talk about their cabinet officials as ministers. And so whenever I see a headline, I've got to talk about, okay, are you talking about a minister of the government, or are you talking about a minister inside the church? Because they both mean servant, but they operate by two different paradigms. One is serving the people, and a lot of times these ministers in other countries that hold cabinet-like type positions, they end up serving themselves. And so I don't want to serve like that. I want to be a servant of the people. So anyway, it says here, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That was God's instruction to Abraham. Abraham, if you will believe me, I'm going to count it to you for righteousness, and you will not believe what I end up accomplishing in your life. It is going to be beyond your comprehension. And so today, I just want to encourage you, if you're kind of scratching your head, wondering what's going on in the country, if I want you to do what Habakkuk did, cry out to God. When God answers, say, God, I'm, could you help me to understand that answer a little bit more? And God will tell you, live by faith. Trust me. Trust me, I've got this. You know what is going on in society right now? God has it well under control. A minister passed away about a year ago, and I had talked to him at a mall down in Melbourne a few years ago when there was a great deal of unrest in the Middle East, and we were discussing it, and he looked at me and he said, Bob, the things that are in the Word of God, they have to come to pass. And what we are seeing is the Word of God come to pass. And I said, you know what? He's absolutely correct. the just shall live by faith. And so you and I, we need to realize that faith is a lifestyle. It is not just a lifestyle for when we are in church. It is a lifestyle that manifests every day, no matter where we go, everywhere, in every situation, we put our faith in the Son of God. We put our faith in Him. And so God spends the rest of chapter 2 getting that point across. And then in chapter 3, there is another prayer of Habakkuk, and I don't want to go through that entire thing, but let me just say this. In verse number 17, it says this. This is Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. And so Habakkuk, at the end of this conversation, this dialogue with God, God, have you considered the wickedness of Israel? Yes, I have. I'm going to deal with it through the Babylonians. How can you deal with it through the Babylonians when they're more wicked than we are? Just trust me, Habakkuk. Just trust me. And at the very end, Habakkuk says, even if there's not a food supply, even if there is no evidence of financial prosperity at all, I am going to rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I believe that God wants the Christians of Brevard County to allow our joy not to be circumstantial, but relational. That we rejoice in the Lord and we rejoice in the God of our salvation, and that we say, God, You are able to do for me what food used to be able to do. You are able to give me strength even when there is no strength to be gained from a physical source. God, You are able to make me successfully journey through the most difficult terrains because You will equip me. You will make me walk on my high hills. And so praise the Lord that we can live by faith. Now, I want to take you to the book of Romans, because in Romans chapter 1, we find the Apostle Paul bringing this point back up again. And I will tell you this as well, that this was the principle that started the Great Reformation, where Martin Luther got a hold of this principle that the just shall live by faith. It is a lifestyle. It is what we are called to do in good times and bad times. It is what we're called to do inside the church, outside the church. We live by faith in our finances. We live by faith in every arena of our life. When things are going on politically we don't understand, we live by faith. When things are going well, we live by faith. When there is no sickness, we live by faith. When we are battling an affliction, we live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So as you're turning to Romans chapter 1, I can tell you that there was a time I came out of a meeting and I was quite flustered, was not thrilled at all. And as I was walking back to my house, God said, you know, Bob, I have to deal with your pride the same way that I deal with everybody else's pride. And it wasn't anything monumental. It was just a little thing. Okay. It wasn't horrific at all. And as I look back on it, I'd say, God, I would much rather have You deal with my pride in its infantile status or its condition than wait for it to be full blown. And so I pray today that you and I, if you are dealing with pride issues, surrender and submit to God. for you will find that his grace that he gives you is going to be much better than the pride that you used to have to use to try and intimidate everybody else around you. The just shall live by faith. Here we go. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I know there's a lot of people who don't like Romans chapter 1 because from this point on out, it deals with a lot of things that are prevalent in our society, and it makes people comfortable. And I always like how they want to throw out the portions of the Word of God that they don't care for. And so whenever that happens, I want to know if they want to keep the parts that, you know, are okay, because there are some people who want to throw out portions of the scripture, and I want to know, you know, is it okay if we keep thou shalt not murder? Is it okay if we keep thou shalt not steal? I believe that if we're going to get rid of it, then we probably get rid of it all. If we want to keep it, we probably should keep it all. And if it's, you know, worth the devil trying to steal, I believe that it is worth us trying to keep it for the glory of God. So that's the reality of it. I believe in the whole Word of God. I don't want to adjust the Word of God to fit my circumstances, my philosophy, my thinking. I want to adjust my thinking to fit the Word of God. And so here in Romans chapter 1, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If you and I are going to live by faith, then we need to own who we are, if you will. We need to say, I am a Christian. I am a child of God. I believe in God. I want to live for the glory of God. And this is who I am. There's a great video that is out there. It's an older video of an entertainment person who does not believe in God. And he comes out on this video and he says, I have a number of people who give me Bibles after our performance. And he said, some people would be offended by that. He said, I am not. He said, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in heaven. But if you truly believe in heaven, if you truly believe that apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ, that men and women are going to perish in a godless eternity, that they're going, he said, why, if you truly believe that, why would you be too ashamed to come up and try and convince me? And he said, so I would like to thank you. If that was you and you came up and you shared that with me, I want to thank you for at least being bold enough to be who you really are. Folks, it is not, preaching is not for entertainment value. Now, I like to make my sermons as interesting as possible. I don't want people falling asleep when I preach. I try and make them as captivating as possible, that hopefully something during that message, during that sermon, that God's going to use it to be able to get a hold of someone's life. But I'm not ashamed of being a child of God. I heard a person one time and they said, yeah, I don't put any Christian bumper stickers on my car because I don't want anybody seeing the way that I drive. And if I don't conduct myself properly on the roads, then I don't want them knowing that I'm a Christian. There's a funny story that is out there. I doubt it's a true story of a person that got stopped on the road and the person had just been weaving and bobbing and shaking fists at out the window at other drivers and driving really aggressively, and And finally, a police officer pulled them over, and that just made them more upset and said, why in the world did you pull me over? I wasn't speeding. And he said, well, to be honest with you, I saw all the Christian bumper stickers on the back of your car, and I'd seen how you were behaving to the other drivers, and I just naturally concluded that your car had been stolen. And, you know, I believe that we should manifest our faith even in our driving style, but let's not try and hide who we are just to make ourselves politically correct. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is the way to the Father, that no one comes to the Father but by Him. I believe that not because it's convenient for me, but I believe it because Jesus said it. And last I knew, his grave was empty. And it wasn't because they didn't try and keep him in it. It's just that they failed to be able to keep him dead. God's not dead. By the way, I hear God's Not Dead 2 is coming out here in just a few weeks. Saw the first one, really good movie. And I hear that the second one is very good as well. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Okay? Now, two things I want to share with you. First of all, the Holy Spirit, it's His responsibility to deal with a person in the area of conviction of their sin. You and I, we are called, second point here, to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are called to share with them the good news, the gospel. That's what the word gospel means, is good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the anointed one of God, for it is the power of God to salvation. A little later in Romans, it says, how shall they hear? How shall they hear if no one is sent? And so you and I, we are those laborers in the harvest field. We are the ones. It is the power of God unto salvation. And I'm telling you, a light machine will not save you. A fog machine will not save young people. The volume of the music will not save young people. It has to be the good news of Jesus Christ. It has to be the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It is the only thing that can penetrate their hearts and open up blinded eyes. It is the power of God unto salvation. If we want to see more people saved in Brevard County, we need the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Here's a bright idea from Ford to quote an old commercial. Let's quit trying to put the Holy Spirit in a box. And let's let the Holy Spirit have His perfect work, and we will see people get saved. Now, I will also say this for those in Pentecostal and charismatic circles, where we like to see signs and wonders, we like to have those manifestations. I believe this, that if we want to see more of those, if we want to see more signs and wonders, we need to be about our business of bringing people who do not know Jesus to a place where God can deal with them, because that's our responsibility. Those signs and wonders, God said that they will accompany those that believe. And so we need to be doing our responsibility. God's going to make sure that everything else is where it's supposed to be. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Okay, this might fly over like a lead duck, but I'm just going to say it. You aren't going to heaven just because you're an American. You're not going to heaven simply because, you know, you lived in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Heaven isn't a privilege that is, or a right that is given to everybody. It is available to everybody, but we have to utilize that gift of faith. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here in Romans chapter 1, it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Everyone, no exclusions, male, female, boy, girl, everybody. God has no grandchildren, it's been said, only children. Everyone must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say it. Word of God says it. Paul says it in Romans chapter 1. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. He says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So if we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the gospel is going to reveal the righteousness of God. The more you walk with God, the more you are going to see his faithfulness, his righteousness. The more you are going to see his goodness and his holiness. It is going to be absolutely incredible. I encourage you, do not quit on your journey. Do not quit. You say, but you don't understand how discouraged or disillusioned I have become. I want to encourage you to go back and look at what we talked about in the past few days in Habakkuk, because he does understand. And he says, no matter what occurs, I am going to continue to have faith in God. I'm going to rejoice in who he is. And so it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Not only is faith a lifestyle, but faith is progressive. Faith is progressive. We talked about the universal gift or the measure of faith that God has given to every person on the planet. We talked about that there is also a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that is given to members of the body of Christ for the benefit and the enlargement of the body of Christ, that there would be a distinction between the people of God and the people who do not yet know him. We also talked that the just shall live by faith in good times and bad times. And now it says that the gospel, when it is preached, that it, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. I pray that you are growing in your faith. There are things that used to cause my knees to rattle and my teeth to chatter whenever I was standing in opposition to a problem. Okay, I'll be honest with you. It was a financial situation early in our marriage, and God helped us through that situation. And when I saw God demonstrate his faithfulness through that process, I've believed him for our finances ever since. And guess what? The need's more now than it was then. But I still trust him in that arena. My brother posted something here a couple of weeks ago on his Facebook page, showed up on mine, and said something about the size of the giants wasn't there to intimidate. I'm not going to get this right. I don't have the Facebook post, but so that you'd see how far they fall. I something along those lines. I tell you, I believe that our strategy should be that when we go into a conflict, that we deal with the biggest giant first. Deal with the biggest target. The size of the giants wasn't meant to be intimidating to you, but just to show you how large a target they are. I believe you go for the big giant first. And if you look at the story of David and Goliath, you're going to find that when Goliath fell, the Philistines fled. They had Israel outarmed, outnumbered, out-strategized, and God still gave them the victory. And when their giant fell, everybody fled. They did not expect that. So anyway, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Grow in your faith. I pray that you're not shaking in your boots over things that you dealt with 40 years ago, that God has enhanced your faith and strengthened your faith, and it's growing stronger. I pray that in 2016, your faith will be stronger than it was in 2015, that in February, it'll be stronger than it was in January, that this week, it'll be stronger than it was the week before. Let God develop you. It is a growing, faith should be growing in your life. And so when you go to church this week, now listen, it needs to be growing because of the Word of God. It's the gospel that's causing the growth. It's revealing, the Word of God is revealing the righteousness of God. And so the more righteousness that we see, the more that we allow God access to our life, the more our faith in Him is going to grow. And it begins to have a snowball type of effect. And you say, you know what, God, I don't ever want to live any other way. It is revealed, the just shall live by faith. I told you that this was very important to Martin Luther. You know, the just shall live by faith. I got news for you. It didn't go out of style then. There's a guy in church history by the name of George Mueller, I believe it is. And he ran some orphanages. He never publicized what his needs were. And they ran those orphanages by faith. And the testimonies of what God did through those situations were truly, truly amazing. I pray you'll go back and learn from some of the pillars in the household of faith. God wants you and I to develop a strong lifestyle of faith. The just have no other way to live. Okay? So, there was a preacher one time, and he stood up in his congregation, and he told them how God had had him give away everything that he owned. And when he did that, he said, when he stepped out in obedience, when he did what he said, God ended up blessing him with exponentially more than he had given away. And after the service, there was a person that greeted him at the back door, and his proposition was this: could you do it again? Could you do it again? If God asked you to do it now, could you do it again? And I'm not here to tell you that God wants you to give everything away. That's not who I am. That's not the message I proclaim. I let God be in charge of that. I just want to ask you this. If you were to realistically evaluate your life, and I realistically evaluate my life, are we truly living by faith? We need to live by wisdom, but we need to live by faith in God. And so whatever God asks you to do, I want to encourage you, live it. Live it. Let's live out our faith in Brevard County. You know what? Wouldn't it be great if the number of accusations of hypocrisy in the church, where people proclaimed one thing and lived a different thing, wouldn't it be great if there was a precipitous drop of that accusation being made in Brevard County? Wouldn't it be great if people said, you know what, that church in Brevard County, they really do live out the faith that they believe in. Father, we are so thankful for salvation. And God, I pray that this week, as we've been talking about developing a culture of faith, that, Lord, we would develop it as a lifestyle, as a growing lifestyle, that faith would be gaining more and more ground in our hearts and in our lives. God, may your kingdom grow in Brevard County. Have a great weekend, and we will see you Monday right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is I need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away, purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on in my heart?